You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This is the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here Monday through Friday for you every day of your work week. We are free every day, every episode, free of charge. All we ask from you is to give us a five-star rating and a good review on iTunes. Not really much work on your part to pay me, John Corrales of MassLive.com. Right now, at last check, Locked On Celtics has been in the top 200 on iTunes overall over the past couple of weeks, kind of in and out of the top 200 overall. Top 20, I believe, in all basketball podcasts, and the number one Boston Celtics podcast on iTunes. So thanks, everybody, for doing all of this. Really appreciate everybody's support. Today is basically the Jaylen Brown episode. Three segments of Jaylen Brown's extension, which is 4 years, $115 million if he meets all of his incentives. Joining me to talk about this today is a gentleman, local blogger from a fledgling site called RedsArmy.com. It's my old partner in crime, Charles M. Quote Mode Chuck, end quote mode McKenney. Chuck, how's it going?
Is this thing on?
Yeah.
How's this work?
Have you dusted off your podcasting equipment from when we did the old two-man game on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an honor just, you know, when you extended this invitation, I know
I extended the invitation. That's right.
I mean, you're a big-time Celtics reporter now, reporter.
That's true.
I'm still just a fledgling hack blogger, so this is an honor, Mr. Corrales. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. RedsArmy_Chuck is his Twitter handle. He's so enamored with me that he copied my Twitter handle. Oh, man. It's been a lot. Chuck and I started RedsArmy.com from, like, was it the 2006 season?
Yeah. Yep. We suffered through Jesus that season. Christ. We were watching such horrible basketball. We thought, why don't we write about this?
Yeah.
And talk about it. And which was pretty crazy when you think about it, but 2006 is a long time ago now. I'm definitely feeling like there's a lot of worn tread on these tires.
Stupid amount of time. We're basically riding on rims at this point, Chuck. But, you know, we're here. Red's Army's still kicking.
Absolutely.
You know, that's great. So for everybody, like, we do our work on MassLive.com. So obviously check that out. But if you want, like, the local blogger kind of perspective, just like, a little more unhinged, I guess, is the way we could talk about it. A little less restraint when you can, you know, get your writing. I have to be a little bit more straightforward than I have been in the past, but that's okay.
Absolutely. I mean, we're unfiltered. We're raw. You know, we take a report, like, let's just say there's a reporter who writes something stupid, we might just throw our opinion out about it. So we'll talk about news and also unpopular opinions, stuff like that. So I'd like to think that that's what people come to us for. So we're still churning away. I'm trying to be more positive. You know, some might say I've been a bit cynical about this team in the past, but I'm feeling pretty upbeat this year. I'm feeling pretty upbeat.
Okay. That's good. That's good. So let's start with this. How upbeat are you about the Jaylen Brown extension?
I'm thrilled. I mean, I've been high on Brown mean, not since draft night, because I was probably one of those clowns that booed him and know too much about his game. But my opinion of Jalen has certainly evolved. I think his game has progressed. So if you had told me prior to the start of the season that the Celtics would extend Brown for the 4 years, $115 million, I'd be pretty happy about that. I want him to be part of this team. I think he's definitely a building block, and I'm excited about it. I think the Celtics got good value, and I think you know Brown should be happy with the deal too.
Oh, I think he's thrilled with the deal. I mean, this is I had settled on 4 and $100 million as kind of like my high end, I guess. Like that's about as high as that. And this is essentially falls right in line with that. So to break down the contract, the overall value can be $115 million, but multiple reports out there now that there are incentives. So there are $12 million in incentives. So it sounds like there's $103 million guaranteed. So that's right in line with what I was talking about for the contract. 4 million of these incentives are very easily attainable. He's going to play 65 plus games. They have to have 49 plus wins and get to the second round. That seems very attainable for the Boston Celtics. So you can add the 4 million to that. So it's about 107 million. 8 million in incentives over the course of these 4 years may not be as attainable. If he wins an MVP, which, hey, that'd be great. A defensive player of the year, that's a nice incentive, or any of the all NBA teams, he gets the extra $8 million. So that's incentive to go out there and perform well. And even if he doesn't make any of those things, it's $105 million versus 115 or 106, whatever it is, whatever the numbers are. It's a nice contract for Jaylen Brown, and it starts off at $23.8 million. Progresses 8% raises from there. It's hard, I think, for somebody like me or us, Chuck, in our advanced age, to look at a player making $23.8 million and say, that's a nice deal for a guy who's not a number one option, because that kind of money used to be reserved for like the top players in the league. But now with the salary cap up at $116 million or so, that's just kind of the price of doing business. And so clearly it shows that they believe in Jaylen Brown. Like, they wouldn't have given this as like, hey, we're going to give it to him and maybe we can trade him or whatever. Like, that's always a possibility with Danny Ainge. But this is money that you give to a guy that you believe is going to be there for you when you are a championship contender.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So, you know, I think – you have to look at the market, right? Yeah. So you clearly, like you said, you need to adjust your mindset to the new numbers. This is just the new reality. So when we learned, I think it was last year when Jamal Murray signed for the max 5 years, 170, that was like a holy crap moment. And I think he's grossly overpaid, but I think that showed what the market could be like, for players of that caliber. So I was a bit nervous seeing that number. You know, Ben Simmons, I figured, deserved it. So he was going to get it. But you wondered where other players who were up for an extension would fall and kind of set the market. And seeing Siakam get his $130 million, I think, was a really good barometer. That told me that Brown wasn't going to get more. So it wouldn't be stupid. But then again, you know, when a team has money, you know, when a team has money and it's, you know, June or July and you're the Hawks, you know, teams do get stupid. But I figured like that set the market for the Celtics. So you knew it, you know, it would come down under that number. It wouldn't be obscene. And then you saw Buddy Hield get about $95 million. So I think Brown's a better player, you know.
Sure. Again, yeah.
Me, Brown is a two-way player. There's nobody else in that. Yeah, Jamal Murray and Buddy Hield, they're not playing the defense like Jalen is. So I give him, you know, a lot of value for that. So when I saw this number, it just seems to fit logically with those other contracts. And I still think Murray's contract is ridiculous. And I'm not sure why Denver felt they had to go that far. But that sort of, you know, when I saw that and everything kind of fell into place, it just makes sense for me. And then hearing, you know, what the Celtics had to say today and kind of echoed what you said, how they, you know, they want Brown to be here. And I think he can be a tremendous complement to Tatum. Tatum's going to get the max next year. And Tatum is the number one. And I think they're grooming Brown to be the number two. They're good complement. You know, they complement each other. They have different strengths. There were different strengths to their games. So it seems to make sense. Now, last year, both players took a little bit of a step back. So I think we got a little anxious or nervous about, you know, their progress. But, you know, Kyrie is, you know, he's gone. The cancer is gone. So I look, I'm trying not to talk about last year as much, but
no, sure.
You know, I see those two guys as being the foundation, and I'm all aboard that train.
So my biggest criticism, or not skepticism, of Jaylen Brown is that I've been on here wondering, can he reach a level where he's one of the three best players on a championship team? Now, I don't think, or I haven't thought that he could, but this preseason he's shown that, you know, maybe there's more progression there than I thought that was possible. Which is funny because this means is a lot of people are saying that I'm a Jaylen Brown hater because I've said that he's going to have a long career, make a ton of money, just not as much money as some of the stars in the league. But this isn't even really star money anymore. Like, I'm looking at the salaries for this year. Malcolm Brogdon is making $20 million. Like, his new deal with Indiana is $20 million. Serge Ibaka, who was, you know, paid maybe a little too much, but he's in that $23 million range. Forget Chandler Parsons, forget Batum. So these guys are like, Zach LaVine is making 19.5. Aaron Gordon is on a weird contract that's going down. Brown is in that range.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not in the, like, when you look at the range of like superstar players, these big guys, like the top 10 contracts, Steph Curry's making $40 million this year. Okay. Kemba's your max guy making 34. So this guy's making just under, like, he's making about $10 million less than your max player. That's about where a high end role player is going to get paid in today's NBA.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of jives. It jives with where the expectations are. That I think the fact that they put that extra MVP defensive player kind of incentive out there was just, if you do reach that level, great. But, you know, it seems like an unlikely incentive. So they threw that out there just to give him that extra little nut. I like the deal. I like the deal. Even though it's on the higher end of what I would have given him, it clearly, like I said, they like him. They want him to be here. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation about Jaylen Brown's extension, what it means for the Celtics, the impact on the Celtics, and just for the future and their salary cap and all of that stuff. In the meantime, I do remind everybody to go to Indochino if you want custom-made menswear. It's the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. You can start your style upgrade with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more, $399 or more. Go to Indochino.com and enter Locked On at checkout.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So Jaylen Brown's going to be around for a while, assuming that, you know, Danny Ainge doesn't go crazy next summer or next year. But so there are, I wrote this on Mass Live, five ways, my initial five thoughts, Chuck. So first, we already talked about, they believe in Brown. Two, no distractions this season. I don't think there's much discussion over that. There's no, you know, he's under contract. So, and, you know, going back to like the Jamal Murray stuff in Denver, I think that was part of it. And they're building a culture in Denver that Boston already, it already exists in Boston. So they're trying something out there. So throw the distractions out the window. the trade stuff that I joke around about a little bit, like he's not going to be traded. So this is something I need to explain. I've explained it a little bit before. He's now a poison pill guy. And if the Celtics do for some reason decide they want to trade him between now and when the extension kicks in, they got to take the average of all 5 years. This year, the rookie deal, and then the 5 years of the value of the contract. So that number is somewhere around $24 million. Any team receiving him would have to, that's the number that they're using, $24 million. But the Celtics, for matching purposes, only get to use his current year salary, $6.5 million. So they're not matching any salaries that way. So out goes the trade, out goes the contract stuff. So let's start with that before we get to the next couple of things, Chuck. The peace of mind that they're paying for now, they are avoiding any potential Terry Rozier-like distractions from last year. And you go back to the how the Celtics are completely washing their hands of last season. I don't know if this is a reaction to that, but shit, it feels like we've already gotten like the Kyrie stink off of this team. Now we're going to get some of the Terry Rozier stink off of this team by eliminating any sort of contract trade bullshit right now and going into the season with all clear minds.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think that they would have I think it's more about believing in him, and this is kind of a secondary benefit, right? That I don't want to imply that they made this move just with that as the priority. But I think it's definitely a secondary benefit. And Brown is a very cool guy. So he talked a good game, but I think, and maybe there are probably some Marcus Smart quotes out there that'll back this up. But this, when he was going, through this, it has to wear on a guy. It has to be part of his thought process. And, if the season, if he doesn't start like he'd want to, he knows what he's playing for. So I think, like you said, this helps him kind of relax a bit and puts him in the best position possible, to play his best basketball. I mean, I've seen enough from him in the preseason. I've seen different parts of his game. We've seen little playmaking flashes. I know he has a long way to go, but we've also seen different moves and being aggressive and driving to the hoop. So he's definitely put in the work. So I think this will help. I mean, there'll always be questions around the Celtics in regards to, are they going to pursue another sort of superstar? As soon as you cross one guy's name off the list, like Anthony Davis, there's another name that's ready to pop up, whether it's Carl Anthony Towns or something. So, I know that any deal wouldn't be had this year, but you know how the NBA works. You can never tell who's going to be the next disgruntled superstar. So, you can never tell on that front, but I agree with your larger point that this definitely removes, one of the distractions and helps cement the chemistry. Now, how do you think this impacts the rotation? And I'm not sure if I was reading your stuff, but someone was saying this makes it a little more palatable for Brown now to come off the bench if that's what Brad wants, because, he's sitting on 100 and whatever million guaranteed.
Sure. I mean, I didn't think of it that way because the Celtics have been starting all of their, top four wing players. And I think that's kind of like, I'm in such a mindset of Brown being in there with Hayward and Tatum and Kemba and then starting Tice, that that's kind of how I just assumed things are going to keep on going. But that's a great point. I think that if they say, well, we want you to this isn't working. We need to do like maybe you start Cantor and you do like my original before the season started was you start Kemba, Tatum, and either Hayward or Brown. You start Cantor and then you get like either Semi Ojeleye or Grant Williams as your kind of do it all, not take any of the offense starter at the four. That's kind of gone by the wayside, but if they do decide they want to go that way in certain times, like, yeah, I can see that because he's got his money. He's got his, for 4 years, he's got it. And if for this season they say, a little bit of a different role, but you're here under contract, like that doesn't even kick in So it's this season plus 4 more years.
Yeah.
So they've got him for 5 more years. So that's a great point. If they do decide that they want to go some kind of bench role, then yeah, he's got no, it doesn't hurt him at all. He's made his money.
No, and that, and it should be under the, you know, under the guise of that he's still going to get 30, 32 minutes. I mean, he right. needs to get the, he needs to get the additional minutes, whether it's starting or coming off the bench. But I want to see him play more than when he was around 26 last year. He needs to be 30 to 32, if not more. So,
sure.
Right. Because that's also how he's going to, you know, build upon his game. So it's there. I think, you know, I still think, you know, the Hayward situation remains most in flux. You know, what we're going to see from him. And then also, right, he has this opt out that I think, you know, I'm not sure what people are expecting from him. You know, there's the rumors about whether he truly likes it here or whether his wife likes it here. with the Celtics treat, you know, there's just a, there seems to be a lot of questions about Hayward now. So he would be, now that we've kind of finalized Brown, I think you move on to Hayward and say, yeah, most questions are surrounding Gordon.
So it's interesting because in my 5 ways this impacts the Celtics, number 4 is Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward becomes especially interesting. I don't want to be interrupted. Let's take another break. This is a short segment. We'll take another break. We'll come back. We'll finish it up because I want to make sure that everybody, I want to make sure that we're talking through this whole thing because it's a really interesting thing. We'll be right back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. So the Gordon Hayward side effect is something that I think definitely needs to be discussed here because for so long it's been this glut at the wing position and Jalen's been this target as, you know, first of all, I didn't expect them to extend him before the deadline. It's just not the way it goes with the Celtics. They did. That's great. That's great for him. We've already talked about that. But now, because that's happened, they've committed to him. And so Gordon Hayward comes around. So he's making $32.7 million this year. Next year, player option for $34 million. It's a lot, but there are ways that the Celtics, if they want to work out a trade, there's possibilities out there that if you want to move that salary, you can do it. I don't know for whom, but they have options, and you never know how things are going to pan out. You know, you could throw out names. You know, Kevin Love is out there as a potential guy, and you know, you throw a stretch four like Kevin Love in there, and now you start like it hurts the defense, but that's a hell of an offensive player to throw out there. There are other players that are making a little bit less that the Celtics could target if they wanted. Point is, it's an option. There are a lot of different options here with Hayward. He could opt out and leave. He could pull in Al Horford. He could opt out and come back next year and re-sign long-term. I think, Chuck, it all really depends on how does he play this year. Yeah. And as much as we've seen, I like the little things that we've seen from him so far. And everybody's raving about him, and I've seen a little tiny bit of him in practice, and he's moving well, and he's aggressive. But we got to see him play. And if he plays awesome and goes back to Utah Hayward, there's a risk of him pulling an Al Horford and leaving. If he doesn't, then what does he become? And does he become a, like a long-term, hey, maybe he's the guy that comes off the bench and he opts out and you say, all right, opt out and we'll give you, you know, another, what, 80, 90, whatever million dollars to be our long-term bench guy, pseudo backup point guard type of guy. I don't know. I think Hayward is super interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, right? I mean, I think, there are no excuses anymore. And that's a terrible, you know, choice, but of words, but, I just mean like he's 2 years removed from the injury now. So this is the time where he really needs to put up. So I think we're all expecting that. And it'll be interesting to see if he can regain his former self. And, like you said, there's going to be a lot of different factors. I mean, the better he plays, the better his market becomes. Does he like it here? The answer is that, you know, it seems like he does, but like I said, there's speculation that maybe he doesn't. And what would the market hold? So there's not much of a free agent market for next season, correct? Most of these guys are re-signing, and the teams with money are all like the Atlantas or the Clevelands. Or so, you know, him opting out, where does he want to go? What's the market for him? So, and then if he plays it out in one more year, the year after is the big year, right? That's a huge free agent year.
Right.
So there's just so many different factors at play. It's really hard to say. And it's most interesting. I mean, he really has his, right? He's made his money. I think if anything, he wants to prove to everybody that he can be the player he was before the injury. So I'm expecting all that. You know, the rest are all the intangibles. I feel like it's almost impossible to predict, you know, how close is he to Brad? You know, does he want to go back west? I just don't, or Indiana. There's just too many factors there. It's really hard for me to say.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, and it does. The Celtics, I think, inadvertently put a little bit of a spotlight on him by doing it now. And they'll never talk about it. And maybe there is nothing to talk about. It's entirely like, just because they want to make one roster move, they're not going to sit there and be like, well, Jalen, we want to give you this money, but we don't want to mess with Gordon Hayward's psyche. Like that. No, it's like a case by case thing. And there's always going to be a side effect to it. Right? Gordon Hayward's going to, he can make the $34 million next year and just be done with it. Like just whatever. If he makes that, like the Celtics, they're not going to have cap space next year, no matter what. Like they're basically going to be paying maybe even the luxury tax. So I think, and my fifth point in this, and we'll just roll it in, is that they're not going to, this is kind of the team. Like they're not going to be adding a free agent next year. There's nobody coming in. They're gonna pay Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum's gonna get his max extension, as we expect. We think. After that, like, there's no tinkering. There's no major moves left to make. It's all tinkering. So
if Hayward opts out, though, do they have any portion of that $34 million that they can allocate to a new free agent?
So the way I broke it down, they're at, just for my initial calculations, they're at like $136 million guaranteed money next year. And Hayward opting out, or 134, whatever it is, Hayward opting out, not taking into account free agent holds, not taking into account rookie cap holds or anything like that, assuming that everything else goes away. Like Daniel Tice's non-guaranteed $5 million goes away. They could get it down to, I think, $16 million or so, approximately, in cap space. Now, I don't know how real that number is going to be, but they could, if they wanted to, if Hayward opted out and left, they could get down to like $16 million.
Okay.
So I don't know.
It doesn't get you much.
It does not get you much. And that's kind of the point. Like, so you get that, you get like a room exception, you get the ability to do like a sign and trade. You get like an unbalanced trade that you can do that gives you some other options, but you know, that also takes into account like Enes Kanter opting out and leaving. There are some non-guarantees that you don't pick up. So it's not necessarily a real number. Well, however it works out, the Celtics aren't going to have much money. So this really boils down to this, Chuck. They got Kemba under contract. They got Brown under contract. Tatum is almost certainly going to be under contract. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the core. This is it. This is, and my question from the beginning, and I'll ask it to you, same thing. Can that be a championship core? Can Kemba and Tatum and Brown, Now, maybe Hayward, maybe not. But can those three guys, as your three main guys, obviously you'll have Smart around and those, and some of these other guys and these rookies, but you're paying your most money over the next few years to Kemba, to Tatum, and to Brown. Is that enough to get you to a championship or at least the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say yes, right? Because I'm still banking on the ascension of Tatum and Brown. I still think Tatum is going to has the ability to be a number one guy,
yeah,
a championship number one guy. He's not quite the two-way player like Kawhi Leonard, but that's what I'm banking on. And if he's not, then we're not going anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So no, he's that makes still, sense.
So I think seeing that core, I'm still comfortable with that because I feel like Brown and Tatum, we're still on the way up. Remember, we're still rebuilding here. Danny's done a great job with mixing in older guys, but our one and our two are still 21, 22 years old. So in a couple years, as they ascend, and then you hope Hayward and Kemba still have enough left to be that three, then I think we're there. I really believe that. Of course, you know, the NBA is so unpredictable.
Sure.
Last year taught us, don't take anything for granted. We had one guy telling us to our face that he was going to re-sign. We even had one of the nicest, most humble, stars in Al Horford bolt for our rival. I'm not faulting him for that, but when you look at what transpired, and then you also look at how player movement is so, you know, there's no stability in the league anymore. Nope, players can move on a dime. So, I think with all that said, I'm still as a Celtic fan, I'm feeling pretty good about Tatum and Brown and then the surrounding guys. I just am. I don't have any delusions that they can win a championship next year, but I'd really like to see where they stand 2 years from now and be closer to Philly and Milwaukee. I just think that we're going to gain on them. And I think the West is going to, you know, come back a bit. So I'm feeling good. I don't know. I'm not usually an overly optimistic guy when it comes to this team, but that's what I'm feeling anyway.
I think it feels good for Celtics fans to have a guy you drafted sticking around. Like that's
– Oh, yeah.
There's an added – we drafted Tatum. We drafted Brown. We're gonna stick with these guys. I mean, look, they drafted Smart, Tatum, Brown. I mean, three guys, three key pieces. They've been Celtics – for life so far. Then there's the potential for these younger guys. Really, there's the key of can Tatum ascend to a number one option? Like that has to happen.
Yeah.
He has to ascend to a number one option. Then from there, it's can some of these other guys, can Brown be a number two? Then what's Carson Edwards? Can he? What's he going to be?
Yeah.
What's Grant Williams going to be as a kind of do-it-all type of forward? Can Robert Williams learn to play that position and be the Clint Capella rim running big that people think that he can be?
Like no, except you, things, though. Except you. You're so down on Rob Williams.
I'm not down on Rob Williams.
It hurts me. You want him in Maine.
I do want him in Maine. I want him to learn and be good. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, God, this guy sucks. Send him to Maine. I'm saying go to Maine and learn these habits. Go to Maine to learn how to just get into the habit of this is your positioning. This is how you slide. This is how you do this. Blah, 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 blah. Like, learn those habits. Like, it's, I see him as a potential, very important piece to this team. So, I don't want people to sit there and think he wants this guy in the G League, therefore, he thinks he sucks. I'm saying, go to the G League so you can get good. That's what's gonna make you good. I think he can be good, and because I think he can be good, that's why I want him to go to the G League. I think he can be a very important, like he's got the physical skills. He's got the tools. I just want him to build the habits.
Yeah, I'm just hopefully can learn on the job here.
I mean, look,
part of that is out of necessity. It's a need for this team, right? So you want him to, when you see what they need on defense at the five and what he can bring, you kind of want him to figure it out. I mean, I definitely get your point. I'm hopeful that he can learn on the fly here.
Sure.
So
I get it. I know. And look, and I would love for that to be the case. Like if he can learn those habits in practice and in games, great. My opinion is that I just don't think that's what's most beneficial, but if he can do it, then fine. But number one priority is learn those good habits, because I'll tell you what, I've seen in those preseason games, I don't like what I've seen. I don't like some of the lapses that he's had. Same shit. And I just want him to, if he's not doing it over and over and over again, I don't think it's going to get it hammered into his head. That's all.
I'm sure Brad will just show him film of Enos Kanter and say, do not do this.
Yeah.
Do not do this. Right?
Exactly. That's going to be a big key. So I don't know. Like, I'm curious to see how many of these variables come up big. If everything works out perfectly, then this is going to be great. But how many times has everything worked out perfectly? Who knows?
No, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, at least not for us, right? But, right. You know, I still think that I'm optimistic about this season. I think I like what I've seen from some of the rookies. I like what I've seen from Tatum and Brown. High expectations for Tatum. I know what our glaring weakness is, but I think Brad can patch it together. You know, maybe we're not a top 10 defense anymore, but maybe suddenly we're – you know, close to a top five on offense. So maybe we win some of those high. We win differently. I mean, teams do that, right? There aren't many teams that can guard Joel Embiid, right? So it's this fact that we don't have anybody to cover him anymore. Well, half the teams in the league don't have anybody to guard him. So you have to figure it out, or you have to beat Philly a different way. So I think, you know, it's funny because Romeo Langford was the first pick, and no one talks about him.
No one does.
Right? It's all Edwards. Edwards has taken the entire rookie spotlight, and Grant Williams is there too. But it's amazing that, you know, because the second unit is going to be interesting to see who's going to score points there. I mean, we're hopeful that Edwards can continue it. I'm hopeful that I've always been in the camp that Kanter should be with that second unit so he can help with the scoring burden.
And that's what it looks like it's going to be. So
yeah. And then you throw maybe Langford can get some buckets. You know, Brad's going to have different options, but I think for me there's enough there. That's why I think that they're still capable of being the third seed in the East. When I look around at the rest of the teams in the conference, if not the fourth. You know, so I still think they can be there. That allows for a competitive season, second round of the playoffs, you know, experience for the rookies,
sure.
building blocks, you know, Tatum and Brown, and more learning for Rob Williams. So that's where my optimism sits. It doesn't sit with, you know, I don't think this is a championship contending team. But I like what I think that they can achieve this year and then continue to build on in the year after that. So, it's going to be an exciting season. And a lot of this is, last year was so bad.
Yep.
Like, it's so exactly bad. Like, I'm just ready to just, you know, I'm still a little, you know, with Kyrie and everything, I'm still a little grumpy about that. But I'm ready to move on, and there are exciting pieces. And as long as your expectations are not, you know, we're going to beat Philly or we're going to beat Milwaukee, I think you can just jump on the, you know, bandwagon, enjoy the ride for what it is.
Well, I hope that you're like both sides here. You're like, temper expectations, but I can't wait for the season. Which is, it's funny. I think that's how it is, but they open up at Philly. And then they do a back-to-back Toronto, New York, and then they got Milwaukee in a week. So, like, it's – and the November schedule is kind of tough. They play a ton of games on the road. They got a big, long West Coast swing in the middle of November, that's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
So my fear a little bit is that people are going to be like so excited for the season, and then maybe they start out 500. We're like, oh, here we go again. But yeah. I think as long as they're not screwing around, like if you can see that they're playing hard and they're trying, and you lose a tough game to the Spurs, then people are like, well, you know what? This is who we are. But as long as they're playing hard, and as long as there's no, like, you know, crazy Kyrie soliloquies after the game, I think people will be happy. Because Kemba's a good dude. And I think people are just going to, they are going to like this team. Like, that's for sure. This is a very likable team. They're saying and doing all of the right things. So we'll see how things, I'm very flummoxed, Chuck, by your optimism. It's not something I'm used to.
It's, I mean, I was so.
Are you just softening in your old age?
Yes.
Have been worn down by your children?
But I spewed so much venom last year, and there was so much anger, and it was a summer of just, like, you know, with Kyrie and Al. Like, I just don't have any left. I feel like there's only one way for me to turn, and it has to be with optimism and positivity. I mean, it's just again, this season, like you said, I'm less concerned about, like, they could start out 500. That could be like a little bit of a wake up call as to their you know, talent threshold. But if Tatum makes that leap that we're hoping for, and Brown makes that leap, and Kemba's Kemba, and the reason we're losing is because of the weakness in the front court, and because of the inexperience with, you know, the rookies aren't performing in the second unit, then I think we can tolerate that, because that's the obvious, right? We're all expecting that. But if they're struggling and Tatum is mid-range Tatum and Jaylen's shooting 50% free throws and not moving the ball, if that's behind any of their struggles, then I think it's like, look out. Yeah. Man, suddenly our bright future is dark clouds would roll in then. You know what I mean? Like that would really piss me off. But if it's for the other reasons, if it's for the, you know, the inexperience and the lack of front court defense, I could tolerate that. So sure. I reserve the right to change my mind as we're going with this.
All right. And if you do, we'll get you back on the podcast. I think what we're going to do is we're now that we're slowly starting to kind of, I think, figure out a picture for the podcast. And so Chuck will be among the regulars rotating through the podcast from time to time. So we'll get plenty of opportunity to get good old negative Chuck around.
Absolutely.
Chuck is at Reds_Army_Chuck on Twitter. He is one of the co-founders of RedsArmy.com along with me. I managed to get my ass away from him, but you should still read RedsArmy.com because it's awesome. And obviously, I think it's the best blog out there. So go ahead and do that. Obviously, give us a 5-star rating and good review here on the podcast. Again, thanks everybody for making us the number one Celtics podcast on iTunes. We are daily. We are free. Here for you Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.